saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Yes, I do. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Yeah, my praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify why Jesus Christ the righteous.
Awesome. Hallelujah. You are welcome to a great week. Yes, you are. I believe that you have a very super weekend. Great, glorious weekend. Fruitful one at that. All right. So I believe you're super ready for this week. Okay. So you are welcome to a great week. You are welcome to your daily energizer. Welcome to your super duper, like booster. All right, Daily Faith Boost, I am excited to have you again here, and I believe we're going to have a very, very wonderful time. All right, so how was last week's episode? And then were you able to join on Sunday for the influence of the Spirit? If you didn't, please, I could let you know that you need to hear it, all right? So just find it right here on Spreaker, Influence of the Spirit. You might want the video version, so you could get that on YouTube, right? My YouTube channel or Instagram or my IGTV channel. Or maybe on Facebook. It's so easy. Just search for Lanre Rex on any of these platforms. And in case you're not following, please follow. Please follow. All right, let's just hook up together. Follow right here on Spreaker too. All right, so let's have a super amazing time. So last week we spent time talking about moving from death to life. We're not totally done, so we're still kind of like in it. But today there's just something to emphasize. Still in it. But on that theme of eternal life and the fact that it's yours. All right, it's yours. I can leave it again tomorrow, come back again on Friday, but it is yours. But one thing I need to quickly point out is this. When you hear eternal life, what does it mean to you? All right, when you talk about eternal life, growing up, we all thought eternal life, you know, basically was just life after death. All right, living eternally, all right? You know, Jesus had talked, you know, about people being resurrected, all right? Those who did good will be resurrected into eternal life, and those who did evil will be resurrected into eternal damnation or destruction. So what was it like for you, right? But one thing is, Bible isn't putting eternal life in that, like, future, far distant sense. Bible talks about it really like in present tense. So just in case you've been having that eternal life means when you die, then you live forever. Yes, but it begins here, right? It's actually the life of God impacted into. It's not that, you know, you live forever thing, all right? So for a number of people, eternal life is connected to the resurrection or the rapture. All right, when we receive the glorified bodies, and also they have that mindset of, you know, that is. And then they could pick from Titus, you know, the second verse, or could read Titus chapter 1 and then pick verse 1 into verse 2, all right? So I'm using the NIV. Titus chapter 1 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. Verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the world began. All right? In hope, please notice this. In hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the world began. But verse 3 says, and which now at his appointed season, he has brought to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of our Savior. So maybe we'll check that where. We could use NLT. Let's see how the NLT puts it, all right? It says, this truth gives them confidence that they have eternal life, which God, who doesn't lie, promised before the world began. And now, at just the right time, he has revealed this message, which we announce to everyone. It is by the command of God, our Savior, that has been entrusted to us. Okay, so you want to check another one. But basically, what was given as a promise has been delivered. Did you get that? The promise has been delivered. The promise has been delivered. The promise has been delivered. We'll read the Amplified, all right, from verse 1 to 3. All right, so Paul, a bond servant of God and an apostle, meaning a special messenger, I put that in brackets, special messenger of Jesus Christ the Messiah, to stimulate and promote the faith of God's chosen ones and to lead them on to accurate discernment and recognition of an acquaintance with the truth which belongs to and harmonizes with and tends to, this is Amplified, just amplifying, all right, that point, all right, to accumulate, which lead them to accurate discernment and recognition of an acquaintance with the truth which belongs to and harmonizes with and tends to godliness. Verse 2, resting in hope of eternal life, life which the ever truthful God who cannot deceive promised before the world or the ages of time began. And now, verse 3, in his appointed time, he has made known his word and revealed it as his message through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God, our Savior. So there was a promise, the promise of eternal life. So some see it as, well, it's a promise. Yes, it is. When you look at it also from John chapter 10, verse 10, all right, Jesus said that the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So promise you. But the promise has been made good. The promise has been made good, right? The promise has been fulfilled. And there's a word Jesus used in that John 10, right, that runs through. And it's the word have. To have means to be in possession of, okay? To have means to possess, to be in possession of. So he said, I am come, or I have come, that you may have life. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Meaning, I've come that you may possess it. Not have it someday. It's have it right now. Understand the Bible language, please. I have come that you may have. Please notice, have, all right? So we'll go to the popular John chapter 3. I'll pick from the 15th verse, John 3, 15. Let me get back to New King James. All right, let me get to New King James, John 3 and 15. Jesus says here, all right, that, 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Please notice, have to possess. All right, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but once again, have everlasting life. Did you get that? Now the 36th verse, all right, of John 3, all right, John 3, 36, says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. It is your present possession. The promise has been made good. You have it. All right? It is your present possession. The promise has been made good. You have it. Let's look at the 5th chapter of John now. John 5, all right? And then the 24th verse, John 5 and 24. Jesus says here, I really like, cherish this verse particularly. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life. I'll take that again. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. All right. I'm sure that's familiar to you, especially from last week's series. But we're looking at present possession. You have it. The promise has been made good. All right. So if I tell you, hey, I'm going to give you something, all right, because you need to really look into God's word and take note of the tenses. If God keeps saying, you will have, you will have, you will have, you will have, then we could relax and say, well, he said we're going to have it. We don't have it. But he said, have now. All right, so John 5:24 again, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life. Do you want to put your name in there? All right. So this is how we'd say that. Most assuredly, I say to you, Larry, who hears my word and believes on him who sent me, has everlasting life. All right. Try that. Most assuredly, I say to you, I'll pause for your name, who hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. You got that? I'll do it again. So I'll pause where your name should come in. Most assuredly, I say to you, who hears my word, all right, believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life. Now you could put your name also in the you part, meaning most assuredly, I say to you, Larry. Most assuredly, I say to Larry, all right, he who hears my word, all right, or you who hear my word and believe in him who sent me has everlasting life. Now, please understand, the moment you say, I have life, you are telling us you do not have death. Did you get that? The moment you say, I have life, then you say, I do not have death. By implication, that's what you're saying. That's what you're implying. So you need to be conscious of this. It is my present possession. I have passed from death to life. I once had death. I was once in death. I lived in death. Death ruled and reigned over me. Now I have been delivered from the power of darkness, which is death, and I have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, which is the kingdom of light and life and love. All right? So I have been moved. Now that I have been moved, I do not have death. I have life. Glory to God. Now that I have been moved, I do not have death. What do I have? Life. I'll be back here in a minute. Let me show you something from Ephesians and the second chapter from the first verse. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Did you get that? And you he made alive who were dead. So you were dead. Now you're alive. All right. You were dead. Now you're alive. You want to say, I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. All right. You're alive. Yes, you are. You're alive in the kingdom of God. You exist. You are alive to the things of the spirit. You're sensitive. You're aware of the leadings of God. You are alive. You want to say that again? I am alive. I am alive. Yes, I was dead, but I am alive. Don't say, oh, I'm just so dumb, so deaf. So no, yes, there are things we could do, right? Carnal things that might want to dull our senses. But the more you keep saying, I am alive, it will bring you conscious, all right? Bring you into remembrance and even strengthen you to ward off those activities that might deaden your senses or basically really just doll you up, all right? It's like you have light somewhere, but then you pile up clothes and pour it over the light. What happens? There will be darkness. So there is darkness not because there is no light, but there is darkness because the light is covered. Did you get the difference? So the believer is not without light. The believer is alive. Do you understand? But now you could want to cover up the light. Pour things over it, like pour dearth over some, And then you can't see what it is because you've put dirt on it. So you have to clear off the dirt, clear off the debris, just clear off everything and say, hey, here it is. I found it. Remove the cloth. All right. Then you see the light shine. Praise God. So you who were dead in trespasses and sins, he has made alive. I mean, look at the state we were all in, right? Verse 2 says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all once, past tense, conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. Praise God. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, verse 5 says it again, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So he raised us up. He made us sit together. We are no longer dead. We're alive. You exist. You are alive. Praise God. So going back to John and the fifth chapter of the book of John. So John 5 again, 24. Most assuredly, I say to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, Larry. Most assuredly, I say to you, Larry, who hears my word, depends on where you want to put your name, and believes on him who sent me, has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed. Again, present tense reality, from death into life. I want you to note the 26th verse. It says, for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given unto the Son to have life in himself. So it's a possession, a family possession. The Father has it, gave it to the Son to have it. And then the Son came that we may have it. It's what the family has. So when you go, you know, about saying, oh, God is my Father, oh, God is my Abba, and you do all that, you've got to understand that what you're saying is, I am a partaker of his divine nature. All right? A cat gives birth to a kitten. A dog gives birth to a puppy. So when you say God is my Father, it means there are certain attributes, qualities, characteristics that we'll find in God that we will find in you. Do you understand this? There are certain attributes, qualities, right? Characteristics that if we find them in God, we would also find them in you. You've got to understand the place of fatherhood. Still this John 5. Let me show you. All right. Jesus, all right, in John 5, 17, said, but Jesus answered them, my Father has been working up until now, and I have been working. I'll read that again so you get it. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working up until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him. All right? This is interesting. The Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Did you get this revelation we're seeing here? Because he said God was his Father, the Jews didn't hear him like we would hear him and like, oh, God is his Father. I mean, he's just simply saying he's born again, he's worshiping God. They say, no, we understand the language because like begets like. It's the law of life, all right? You give birth according to your kind. It's the law of Genesis. Everything after its own kind, all right? Plant after plant, seed will produce seed. Animals produce animals. Man will produce man. Everything according to his own type. So if God is your Father, then you must be God. All right? You must have certain attributes of divinity in you. So they picked up stones. I mean, in this case, they said, we're going to kill you. How could you say such? It's amazing. How could you say such? And then we now talk a lot of, you know, Abba, 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 Abba. And then we see a lot of it, and it's fantastic. But it's a deep statement. It's a very intimate word. Praise God. So please, I trust that you'll be able to chew on that and then let the Holy Ghost throw light on it for you. So as the Father, verse 26, has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. In John 11, Jesus was speaking right to Mary and to Martha, but Martha first. So I'm going to the conversation that Jesus had with Martha. All right. So verse 20 of John 11. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, he will give it to you. Please follow the language. You'd almost think she's asking for an immediate miracle. Right? I know whatever you ask of God, he will give it to you. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You'd almost wonder, but the woman just said, whatever you ask, God will give you. Jesus says, you'll rise again. She should have just said, yes, amen, praise God. But that means this wasn't what she was thinking. All right? Maybe she's asking, okay, that my brother is safe or whatever it is, all right? That he's kept and, you know, you pray that to the Father that he'll be raised up on the last day. Because the truth is, if you had listened to the words of Jesus prior to this time, he kept on saying, you know, and I'll raise him up on the last day. Not Lazarus, I was just referring to whoever believes in me. I'll raise him up on the last day. So she'd heard that. So she still spoke as a good disciple. But one thing interesting in John is that this obviously seems to have been the first dead Jesus might have resurrected or might have resurrected in this kind. You'd almost wonder why. Okay, let's see. Because in John, all right, just back up a little bit, okay? We could just do 14. Then Jesus said to them plainly, or something to his disciples, right? Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I wasn't there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go. So he's telling disciples, I'm happy you were not there. I'm happy I wasn't there. So let's go. So you're going to see what I'm about to do. So it looked like, you know, none of them, all right, had seen this happen before. Because it gets more and more amazing, all right? Like super duper amazing. Why? Because when Lazarus resurrected from the dead, the fame of Jesus spread about so much so that the Jews even wanted to kill Lazarus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You see that in chapter 12. Let me just show you. All right. Chapter 12, verse 9. All right. It says, now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, right? And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Verse 10 says, but the chief priest plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on his account, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. These men were just so, what do we say about them? Just that by all means and at all costs, they just want to bury this matter on Jesus Christ. But no. They failed. And they will continue to fail. All right. What I mean by that is anything to stop the gospel cannot work. Jesus said the gates of hell will never prevail. Would never ever prevail. So we're back again on you have it. It's not like Martha, all right? Oh, at the last day. No. All right, Jesus said in verse 25 there, right, I am the resurrection and I am the life here and now. So don't wait for it on the last day. I'm standing in front of you. In our own case also, don't push it to the last day. Don't push it to then. Jesus said, no, I have given it to you. I have given it to you. Please understand this. I have given it, and it's what the family has. As the Father has life, he gave it to the Son to have life. This is why, oh dear Lord, this is beautiful. There's nothing around God that can die. He has life. And then he gave it to the Son to have life. So you see the ministry of Jesus and how that anything dead comes alive. And Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. So let's pause for a minute. What is being challenged by death around you? What is being challenged by death in you? What is being challenged by death that concerns you? Don't let, which we get careless with, all right? And I've been guilty of that. You just allow something slide. You just allow it slide. One pain somewhere, one uncomfortable this somewhere. Just allow it slide. All right? Andrew Womack was, you know, ministering to people, and then he was talking to this man, and he said, okay, so what would you want to pray for? And the man said, this hurts, and this was wrong, and that other one is wrong, and this is wrong. And Andrew Womack said to him, why did you allow this to happen to you? And that's a question, really, that we need to ask ourselves. Why am I allowing this? But the man's surprise usually is our own surprise. And that's the truth. The man wondered, what do you mean by allowed it? This is sickness and disease. But Andrew said, no, you could have put an end to it. You could have stopped it. You could have stopped it. And child of God, I believe that's what God is doing to us now, saying, stop the thing. Don't give it a medical excuse. Don't give it, you know, a biological excuse. Don't give it an hereditary, you know, excuse. Don't give it an excuse. Stop it. All right? Yeah, you might say, but I spoke to you once. It didn't go. Sometimes you talk and keep talking, because speaking to the mountain is not just I spoke. The mountain knows who is convinced. Because in Mark 11:23, the Bible says, you will say, believe, all right, that the things you say will come to pass. You don't doubt in your heart, but believe. That means you must be firm. There must be some form of grit about it. All right? There must be some form of grit. You do not doubt in your heart. All right? You're firm. You're firm. You're firm. So hey, child of God, you and I have got to ask ourselves, why are we allowing this? I know the doctor said, oh, I know this and that. I know nobody might even know what you're going through. But you put your foot down. You put your foot down. I have life. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. It is my present possession. It's what I have now. I was dead. Now I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. There's life in my blood. There's life in my bones. There's life in my kidneys. There's life in my artery. There's life in me. I have life. Charles Capps had an issue with poison ivy. He went into the farm because he was a farmer back then, all right? And then he had to go into the woods, all right? And then he touches poison ivy, his skin reacts, he will use calamine lotion, all right? But he goes back again, but with protectives, he's wearing gloves and all of that, but his skin will still react. He will use calamine lotion, but he didn't stop there. He kept on saying, my skin does not react to poison ivy. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. He kept on saying it. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. My skin does not react to poison ivy. Then he goes back and the same thing happens. He kept at this for 6 months. We need to learn faith, but we need to learn faith and patience. Gloria Copeland calls them the power twins. Faith and patience. Patience is not sitting down in traffic and just saying, well, I'm going to be patient now. That, yeah, that's good. But the biblical patience here is persistence, consistent, constancy. Doing the thing you're doing, just doing it. That's patience. Consistently applying the same pressure. So you're not giving up on your confession. You're not giving up on a declaration of your faith. So you're not just sitting down twiddling your thumb and saying, well, it's going to be fine. No, you maintain. You maintain. It doesn't seem to be moving. You say, well, I'm not moving. You maintain. Do you get that, child of God? You maintain. You maintain. You maintain. Why? Because you have eternal life. There'll be a challenge of your faith. There'll be a challenge of your understanding, but you put your foot down. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. Do you understand this? So we'll end with John 5, 1 John, rather, and chapter 5. We'll pick that again up tomorrow. 1 John 5, and what? Let's just quickly just round up with the 12th verse. All right, 11 into 12. It says, and this is the testimony that God has, let me read it well, and this is a testimony that God has given us eternal life. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. 12 says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And I believe that you, dear listener, this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whatever time zone or time of the day you're listening to this, you have eternal life because you have Jesus Christ. I believe you do. All right. And if you do not have Jesus Christ, you do not have eternal life. It doesn't cost you anything to say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died. I believe you rose again on the third day. I confess you as my Lord. You have eternal life. You have eternal life. You have eternal life. You do not come into judgment. You do not come into condemnation because you have eternal life. All right. I believe this helps. All right. This blesses you. It is your present tense possession. And once you say you have life, what you're inferring is you do not have death. When you say you have life, you're saying you don't have death. Do you believe this? All right. Please get to our website, www.lionrexnasian.com, and download Understanding Life, 12 messages free. You have over 80 messages there available for you. But this one, you could just listen, like listen and listen, and let's get this revelation sinking in so much, right? I appreciate you, love you. Thank you for always joining me. And then I'll see you tomorrow. Have a blessed rest of the day. Bye.